God is not fair. God includes those with gratitude and those with resentment, both alike. The workers in the vineyard are both the resentful and the grateful. The people in church are both the ungrateful and the thankful. But God wants all of us to receive grace and to receive gratefulness.
That's the very Reverend Sam Candler, and today he shares a powerful message of faith called God is Not Fair. I'm Peter Wallace. It's day one.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're honored to have with us the very Reverend Samuel G. Candler, Dean of the Episcopal Cathedral of St. Philip in Atlanta, Georgia. Sam is a graduate of Occidental College in Los Angeles and earned his graduate degrees from Yale University Divinity School and its Episcopal component, Berkeley Divinity School at Yale. He earlier served churches in Marietta and Cumming, Georgia, and Somerville, South Carolina. In 1993, he became Dean of Trinity Cathedral in Columbia, South Carolina, and then became Dean of St. Philip's Cathedral in 1998. Sam, welcome to Day One.
Thank you, Peter. Great to be back.
You have been the dean of this thriving cathedral in the heart of Atlanta for 25 years now. A wonderful milestone. Congratulations. As you look back over these years, what stands out for you in terms of the impact the cathedral has been making in the community and beyond?
Thank you, Peter. I've had a great time at the cathedral, 25 years of, in my estimation, reestablishing the centrality of community. Uh-huh. The parish church is really one of the places that can teach the world about community. And we have, I think we've been a presence of holy community, a place of grace to teach the world what grace can be like.
And the cathedral is home to a plethora of ministries, outreaches, and community service activities, Bible studies. Give us an idea of what happens there during a typical week, if there is one.
Wow, it's nonstop. The old myth about church only being active on Sunday mornings is not true at St. Philip's Cathedral. We are 24/7. Well, maybe not 24, but we have Bible studies that start at early in the morning, 7 o'clock. We have a preschool that meets every day. We have ministries and classes in the afternoons. We have a Lamastad teaching episode for Hispanic students on two or three times a week. One of our biggest neighborhood events is the Saturday morning Cathedral Farmers Market, where I call it the biggest coffee hour in Christendom, Saturday mornings, 8:30 to 12, where we support local vendors, local farmers, and just see each other. Yeah. Nobody's all dressed up in their Sunday finery. They're all in soccer clothes and sweatshirts with dogs pulling them around. And it's just a great symbol of the community of faith.
Yes. And, of course, you offer multiple opportunities for worship during the week.
I really thrive on our daily Eucharist. Yeah. They're not always well attended, but it's good to have a place with the resources and the energy to have Holy Communion every day, Monday through Friday, 12:15. In addition, of course, to six or seven services on Sunday itself, the cathedral is a place of prayer, a house of prayer for all people. And we need places that are holy destinations where people can contemplate God, where they can find some holiness. The cathedral seeks to be one of those places. Mm.
Sam, you were last with us on Easter 6 years ago, a very long time ago, it seems. And in fact, we had you scheduled to record a Day One program just as the COVID pandemic lockdown occurred and had to cancel that and run a rerun. So how did the cathedral fare during the pandemic? What have you learned about being church? Have you grown and evolved?
Yeah, we learned what everybody else did. It was tough. Yeah. It's tough to be in quarantine, to not be able to touch each other. We did fine with our online services and streaming. We had the resources and the staff for that already in place, actually. Mm-hmm. We had been streaming services before the pandemic, so it wasn't much of a pivot for us. But it did make us appreciate the value of being in the flesh. Mm. And that's what we just craved and longed for during the isolation time. It's not the same. You can receive data and information online, but you don't have a sense of community.
Yeah.
Being with people in the flesh, having that give and take of conversation and discussion and ups and downs together. So we did the best we could with it, but it's been wonderful returning to some in the flesh, some incarnational life. That's what we've returned to.
And while the cathedral is an active Episcopal parish and the home of the Episcopal Diocese of Atlanta, I understand you're making efforts to strengthen your relationship with other denominations and faith groups. Tell us about that and why it's an important goal.
It's been an important goal of mine for my whole career. Mm. I think a healthy Christianity appreciates good faith wherever it comes from. I have a little series of writings called Good Faith and the Common Good, but mm-hmm. it's devoted to highlighting people of good faith no matter what their denominational or religious identity is. And I think the cathedral can be a place for that, where we, again, where we lift up good faith. We've just hired a young curate for ecumenical and interreligious relations from Pakistan, mm-hmm. and we want to be known as a place that honors God's presence, even in places that folks don't often look for.
Mm-hmm. Sam, your sermon today draws from the gospel lesson for this Sunday from Matthew chapter 20, Jesus' parable of the landowner. Would you read it for us?
Thank you, Peter. Yes. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon, and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." The word of the Lord.
Sam, we look forward to hearing your sermon on this. It's called "God Is Not Fair." Thanks for sharing it with us.
Thank you, Peter.
And if you'd like to listen again to today's program with Sam Candler with an extended interview, you can subscribe on your favorite podcast app to Day One Weekly Program. That's DAY numeral 1 Weekly Program, or listen on our website at dayone.org. And if you'd like a free printed sermon transcript, just call us at 404-815-9110.
Jesus said that a landowner went out to hire laborers for his vineyard. Surely it was a gorgeous vineyard, devoted to producing fine grapes and rich wines of the most excellent quality. Hey, maybe it is the vineyard which produces the grapes, which produces the wine, which we use during our Sunday Holy Eucharist, those tastes of holy sweetness and grace. Like any good business, this guy's vineyard needed workers. All vineyards need workers. The landowner agreed with all sorts of people throughout the day for the usual wage. And then, when 6 o'clock came, the end of the day, those who had worked 12 hours received the same wage as those who had worked 1 hour. What's up with that? Jesus says the 12-hour workers grumbled. Well, of course they did. These last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. Any person who has raised multiple children knows the truth of this parable immediately. Any person who has managed a staff of workers knows the truth of this parable immediately. Every day in life, we can find something that is not fair. And when we are in charge, no matter how hard we try to make things equal and fair, it doesn't come out right. The weekly allowance, which we once agreed to, is not right because the child taking out the trash does not work as long as the one washing the dishes. This wage is not fair compared to that wage, for one job seems much easier. Besides, John is different from Mary. You should take into account those differences when it comes to compensation. The complainers will always have some legitimate point. One wise old grandfather had a way of explaining this to his grandson. He said, "You're right, grandson. Life is not fair at all. And you know what? You'd better get down on your knees every day and give thanks that life is not fair. You are better off than most of the people in this world because life is not fair." So, what is the point? If life is not fair, what do we strive for? Any attempt to explain this parable according to our own economic standards fails fast. There is no explanation that justifies God according to our standards, that makes things seem fair. God will give what God chooses to give. God does not promise that all will be fair according to whatever structure of fairness that we have in mind. God does not promise that each person will receive more or less because of length of work or time spent or even quality of work. But God does keep promises. The simple promise is this: God promises a day's wages, 1 denarius. Give us this day our daily bread. God will care for us daily without the guarantee of long-term security, without some predetermined pension plan, without a portfolio invested in the latest hit stock. This sort of care hardly sounds like a long-term plan, does it? In fact, it might be rather frightening. But it works. God's kingdom is about taking one day at a time and receiving the grace needed daily to manage that day. Nothing more, nothing less. The Israelites in the wilderness received quail and manna, but only enough for one day at a time. God gives us grace, like manna from heaven, for one day at a time. Give us this day our daily bread. I remember today the great movie, Babette's Feast, set in a bleak area of Denmark. The religious community of that movie is sincere and pious, but also rigid and distinctly unjoyful. The rules and customs of the community have remained over the years, but the passion of their past is gone. Babette shows up in town. She begins to prepare a feast, which genuinely scares the local folks. And then they resent her. They decide that they will eat out of customary politeness, but they also decide intentionally that they will not enjoy the food. Out comes great wine, bread, and the special delicious dish called the quail in a sarcophagus. Quails, of course, are said to be a source for manna, aren't they? Manna in the wilderness, which the Israelites received only one day at a time. A sarcophagus is a flesh eater. As they eat that flesh at Babette's feast, a great miracle occurs. They are converted. A conversion occurs from rigidity and control and utter fairness to the unfettered festivity of grace, the sweet feast of grace. One meal, so lovingly and carefully prepared, was enough for them. Jesus speaks about himself in such food terms. He said he was the true bread come down from heaven. "Unless you eat my flesh," he said, "you have no life in you." Jesus also said he was the true vine, the wine of life. That great theologian from Denmark, Søren Kierkegaard, observed that there are two kinds of life, the life of ethics and the life of faith. Both can be beautiful, but they're different. The life of ethics sets everything out with order and precision and fairness. Yet it falls short. There is another life, the life of faith, which actually touches the very nature of God, touches God with passion and joy. This life of faith is larger than what is fair. The life of faith is larger than what is fair. Maybe because it is so simple. Like Jesus appearing in the simple delivery of daily bread, the daily wage. Jesus is known in the sweet product of the vineyard, the result of laborers in the fields. It is grace, pure and divine grace, without measure or scale. In the Bible, two attitudes emerge when that kind of grace is present. One is thankfulness, but the other is resentment. In the parable of the prodigal son, for instance, one is the attitude of the younger brother, and the other is the attitude of the older brother, the one-hour worker and the 12-hour worker. Gratitude or resentment? Or take the book of Jonah, the only book of the Bible that ends with a question. The sign of Jonah, of course, is paradox. The whole book is a paradox. A prophet who does not want to prophesy. A fleeing in which a man finds himself. A descent into Sheol, which becomes a rising from the dead. A God who changes his mind. Jonah, who one day is happy about a bush, and the next day resentful. And the question at the end of the short book is really a question addressed to us, the reader and the listener. The book concludes with the Lord saying, "You are concerned about the bush, for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" That question is addressed to us, to all of us, who often cannot tell our right hand from our left. We can choose gratitude or resentment. Resentment comes from the complainers. There are those who always complain, who will always find something to resent. Often, we are those folks. We are those folks who have been in the vineyard the longest. Why does God let us resenters stay in the vineyard? According to my standards of fairness, I would like to think that the Lord's vineyard does not contain resentment. I would say, let the resenters spread their complaints elsewhere. But God does not act according to that standard. No, God is not fair. "Should I not be concerned?" God asks. God includes us, all of us. God includes those with gratitude and those with resentment, both alike. The workers in the vineyard are both the resentful and the grateful. The people in church are both the ungrateful and the thankful. The people at the Lord's table are the bitter and the happy. But God wants all of us to receive grace and to receive gratefulness. Jonah and the Ninevites both. God is not fair. God uses the simplest wage, the smallest sip of wine, to deliver the most tremendous grace. God uses the most resentful and angry prophet. Grace is that way. It does not depend upon quantity or size or age. Grace is like forgiveness that way. The same forgiveness that keeps giving 7 times, 77 times. Grace is unlimited. God gives the same amount of grace to the thankful and the resentful. In God, that grace, the culture of gratitude, overcomes the culture of complaint. Such is the power of grace. It doesn't matter whether we arrived early this morning or whether we just walked in the door. Early or late, we are welcome at the Lord's table. Come and let God's grace be unfair to you. This grace is manna in the wilderness, and you will get only one small piece of bread. You will get only one small sip of wine. You will get even less than a day's wages worth. But you will get grace and not resentment. You will get sweetness and not bitterness. God's grace is beyond quantity. An hour's worth is 12 hours worth. A day's worth is a life's worth. Come, enjoy the fruit of the vine. Alleluia. Let us keep the feast. Amen.
Our preacher today was the Very Reverend Samuel G. Candler, Dean of the Episcopal Cathedral of St. Philip in Atlanta, Georgia. For a free transcript of his sermon, God is Not Fair, call us at 404-815-9110. That's 404-815-9110. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. Please keep in mind that Day One depends on the financial gifts of faithful listeners like you. Send your donation to Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. We're grateful for your help. And remember, to listen again to today's program, read the sermon transcript, search the sermon archives, and much more. You can visit us online at dayone.org. This is Peter Wallace. Next time on Day One, we're pleased to have with us the Reverend Tyler Tankersley, Senior Pastor of Ardmore Baptist Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. His sermon is titled Sour Grapes. Join us next week on Day One. This is Peter Wallace, and I have a little secret. You'll be hearing me on Day One programs through early November, but I've retired. That's right, a new leader is preparing to take on this important ministry. Even though I'm no longer in the office, my heart will always be with Day One, and my gratitude for your support of this ministry is boundless. Your gifts help Day One share God's good news with hundreds of thousands of people every week. If you appreciate this inspirational program, I hope you will send a donation to help us bring about a new day for Day One. Please mail your gift to Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. Or call us at 404-815-9110. Or give securely online at dayone.org. From all of us at Day One, thank you and God bless you. Now, our Day One preacher, Sam Candler, shares some final reflections on his sermon today, God is Not Fair. And Sam, even though this landowner seemed to behave so unfairly, causing a lot of grumbling and resentment among those workers who'd worked all day for the same wage as those who came on the job for the last hour, you help to see that the truth is life is not fair. But as that wise old grandfather told his grandson, you better get down on your knees every day and give thanks that life is not fair, because you're better off than most of the people in this world because life is not fair. I guess we need to keep our own unfairnesses in life, if that's a word, in perspective. And two attitudes emerge in the Bible when this kind of grace is present. You said thankfulness or resentment. And we can choose which attitude we respond with. But what would you say to me if I'm one of those who gets stuck in resentment?
Yeah, I think all of us are one of those from time to time. One of the pieces of this parable that's most powerful is I think we're supposed to see ourselves as the resentful. And the parable is to us that we've got just as much grace as anybody. Why do we want to choose the resentfulness versus the thankfulness? So I urge people, counsel people, to develop a practice of finding daily, find that one touch of grace. It's there somewhere. It may be as small as a communion wafer, but focus on that one touch of grace, because it's powerful enough to overcome the 12 hours of resentment.
God does not promise that all will be fair, you said, however we define fair, but God does keep his promises, and the simple promise you told us is this: God promises a day's wage. Give us this day our daily bread. God will care for us day by day. You also reminded us about the manna from heaven for the wandering Israelites, enough for each day. That is so hard for us who want long-term security, pension plans, and guaranteed portfolios. How do we learn to trust God day by day like this?
Well, I'm certainly one of those who wants a long-term care plan. I count on those kind of things. But the real joy in life are those daily moments of daily bread. That's kind of again, the point of the sermon was that God is not fair according to our standards. Mm-hmm. God's standards don't have any measure or scale. So the power of one sip of wine or one touch of grace really is enough to fill a complete day.
Yeah. Sam, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will carry with them in the days ahead?
I hope listeners will remember those moments of grace versus the moments of resentment. Finding one thing in life to be thankful for, maybe your morning prayer or your evening prayer, what can I be thankful for? Mm-hmm. That is powerful. If we can find one moment of grace, one moment of thankfulness, that'll make the day worthwhile.
Sam Candler, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Peter. Great to be here.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.